الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، وقفنا عند باب قصة بناء الكعبة الشريف.
Brothers and sisters,
قال
we
الناظم رحمه الله: وإذ بنت قريش البيت اختلف أو اختلف وإذ بنت قريش البيت اختلف ملاؤهم تنازعا حتى وقف أمرهم فيمن يكون يضع الحجر الأسود
حيث
إذ جاء قالوا كلهم رضينا بوضعه محمد الأمين فحط في ثوب وقال يرفع كل قبيل طرفا فرفعوا ثم أودع الأمين الحجر مكانه وقد رضوا بما جرى. يقول وإذ بنت قريش البيت اختلف ملاؤهم أو
ملاؤهم
أشرافهم
Their dignitaries had controversy among themselves about how or to who should they give the responsibility of placing the last stone or rock.
قبل بعثة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إلى هذا الوقت يعني لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث.
Before the Prophet became a messenger, before the Prophet, peace be upon him, became a prophet, the Mecca actually was flooded with a flood.
وكما ذكرنا كان عندهم يعني بقايا من شريعة إبراهيم عليه السلام، فكان قالوا يعني قالوا إيه لا يدخل في بناء البيت
when الكعبة was flooded. And part of it was demolished, they decided to rebuild that part, and they at that time still had some remaining rules from the Sharia or the law of Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim. And part of that was that every piece of money that they used towards building the Kaaba should be pure money, should be pure money. And they collected as much of pure money as they could. So they mentioned that they cannot use any money coming from usury or interest. They cannot use any money coming from prostitution. They cannot use any money coming from any impure source. They have only to use money coming from pure sources. And because of that, they couldn't complete the building. They actually ran out of money, and they completed the building as you see it now, but part of the building was not completed, so they indicated for that part by the hijr, as they call it, and the hijr is the piece of the building that was not completed. And when you go to Mecca, you will see that piece in the shrine that is marked for with an arrow around the Kaaba, or an arrow of rocks around the Kaaba, which is supposed to be the completion of the building that was not completed at the time when they tried to complete it, but they couldn't because they ran out of money. So the story says that when they reached the end and were about to put the black stone in its place, they had a controversy amongst themselves about who should put that black stone. Quraysh said that it should be us because we are the servants of this place. And other tribes said, no, it should be us. And in fact, a fight was about to start because they had a conflict or a controversy about who should place the black stone or the final stone in Kaaba.
يعني اتفقوا فيما بينهم على أن يحكموا أول داخل إلى
so they agreed
أول داخل يدخل إلى
giving
محكمه في
أمره فكان referring to a judge and they mentioned that that judge should be the first one who shows up. So it happened that the first one who showed up was the Prophet peace be upon him. So when he came, peace be upon him, they said, we will all be happy to see Muhammad placing it because this is the honest one, we would all be fine to see him placing it, and he is going to judge with justice, because this is what he was famous for, justice and honesty.
فحط في ثوب فأشار عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يضعوه في ثوب أن يأتوا بثوب ويمسك إيه
So to resolve the conflict, the Prophet, peace be upon him, gave him a very beautiful advice. He said, bring a big garment and or a big piece of clothes and put the stone in it, and each tribe or each dignitary amongst you should take piece of that piece of clothes. And eventually place the rock or the stone, the black stone, and I will help, or I will put it in its place. So each tribe took piece of the cloth, and eventually the Prophet, peace be upon him, placed it in its place, and they were all pleased with this.
لما بلغ عمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 35 سنة.
And this is when peace be upon him was 35. He was 35 at this event.
طبعا الكعبة المشرفة يعني مرت ايه
Kaaba went through many events in its life. In fact, it was demolished multiple times, or several times. Pieces of it was demolished several times during its life. Who built Kaaba? Angels built Kaaba. Angels built the Kaaba for Adam. And Shayth, the son of Adam, renovated that building. Renovated the building. And then Ibrahim, peace be upon him, found the foundations and just built on top of those foundations. And then in the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, a flood came to Mecca, and pieces of Kaaba fell down, so they wanted to rebuild it, build these pieces. And again, the story says, as we mentioned, that they ran out of money and were not able to complete the whole building, so they indicated for the completion of the building by an ark running around one of the corners of Kaaba, from one corner to the other corner. And they had conflict amongst themselves who should put that final piece. And the Prophet resolved that conflict in the way that we saw. There is a hadith in which the Prophet said, O Aisha, if it was not for the fact that your people just came or embraced Islam so recently, I would have demolished Kaaba and rebuilt it in a way that is compliant with the way that Ibrahim built it. But your people are new to Islam, so I don't want them to be tribulated by that, or that that might be an act that would cause them to misunderstand the religion, or in fact it could cause war amongst them. So he did not want to do it, even though he had the ability to do it, but he didn't want to do it because there might be harm resulting from that. Because if he demolished Kaaba and he tried to build it again, they would say, here he is, came to Mecca to demolish Kaaba, so he didn't want to do that.
معركة بين عبد الله بن الزبير رضي الله عنه وبني أمية حجاج بن يوسف الثقفي كان قائد الجيش من قبل بني أمية ونصب المنجنيق على جبل أبي قبيس الجبل المشرف على الكعبة وهدم الكعبة الحجاج بن يوسف في حربه مع عبد الله بن الزبير، فهدم الكعبة فبناها عبد الله بن الزبير رضي الله عنه، أعاد بناءها على يعني وفي الأول في بناء قبل يعني بناء عبد الله بن الزبير، كان عبد الله بن الزبير أولا.
The other time when Kaaba also was impacted was when there was a war between Abdullah ibn Zubayr and Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. When Al-Hajjaj built a catapult on top of the mountain of Abi Qais, and demolished Al-Kaaba, but then Abdullah ibn Zubayr rebuilt it again on the same foundation that that Ibrahim, peace be upon him, used.
هدم الكعبة وأعاد بناءها كما كان يعني كما رغب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يبنيها، استشهد يعني بالبناء. بعدين جاء بناء الحجاج بن يوسف اللي هو رقم 6، الحجاج بن يوسف هدم الكعبة بالمنجنيق وكذا في حرب مع ابن الزبير، وأعاد بناءها فرجعها زي ما كانت في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا كان أيام عبد الملك بن مروان.
And then the final time was in the days of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan, was the sixth time when it was rebuilt. And then in the time of the Abbasi kingdom, Harun al-Rashid consulted top scholars, including, or actually consulted Malik, to demolish it and rebuild it according to the way that the Prophet wanted. But Malik said, no, leave it as is. I don't want it to be a toy of kings. Each and every king, come, demolish it and rebuild it in the way that he wants.
خشي أن تصير ألعوبة بين الملوك. يعني بنو أمية هدموا بناء من الزبير ورجعوه، وبعدين يجي العباسيين فيهدمون بناء بني أمية، وبعدين يجي بعضهم يهدم، فقال اتركوها على ما هي عليهم، فتركت يعني على هذا الوضع إلى يعني وقتنا هذا. طبعا حصلت سيول وكذا.
So many floods, many things took place that resulted in Kaaba getting impacted, but it was rebuilt once and over until the last time it was rebuilt in the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, and that was the sixth time that that happened to it, and since then it has been as is.
كيف كان بدء الوحي؟ قال حتى إذا ما بلغ الرسول الأربعين جاءه جبريل وهو بغار بحراء مختلي، فجاءه بالوحي من عند العلم في يوم الاثنين، وكان قد خلت من شهر مولد.
Then the author moves to the chapter of beginning the revolution, how the revolution started.
وقيل بل في رمضان الطيب. قال له اقرأ وهو في المرار يجيب نطقا ما أنا بقاري، فغطه ثلاثة حتى بلغ الجهد فاشتد لذاك وانصبغ. أقرأه جبريل أول العلق، قرأه كما له به مطر. هنا يتكلم عن
Here the author talks about how the revolution started.
صلى الله عليه
how the revolution
وسلم.
Started.
وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
how the angel came to the prophet and started the whole revolution.
الوحي أول ما بدأ به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
First of all, before the revelation started by the angel Jibreel, some other sorts of revelation took place. And that period of time was actually 6 months before the revelation of the angel started. And during those 6 months, it was actually visions in the sleep of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Visions in the sleep of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
يمر في الطريق عليه الصلاة والسلام فيسمع صوتا يسلم عليه ولا يرى أحدا،
وتسليم
الشجر والحجر على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He would be walking in the roads and hear something greeting him, and he wouldn't know who's greeting him. Later on, he came to know that this is the greeting of the trees and the rocks in the roads that greet him, peace be upon him. And after that, he would see visions in his sleep, and these visions would come true very shortly. And then he started receiving the revelation from the angel. During that time, before the revelation, he started liking seclusion. He started to like seclusion. And he used to go to a cave in the middle of the mountains, and his wife Khadija would give him enough food and sustenance to sustain him for days and days and nights in that cave in the middle of the mountains. Even though he did not, he has not become a messenger at that time yet, but he started to like seclusion, worshipping Allah after the rule or sharia of Ibrahim or Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, which was monotheistic, or he was a monotheist. So when he became 40 years old, Jibreel the angel came to him when he was in the middle of that cave, or when he was in that cave. Jibreel came to him, and it was a Monday. It was a Monday. So he was born on a Monday. He migrated to Medina on a Monday. He has been revealed to, or the revelation to him started on a Monday, and he died on a Monday.
كان في اليوم الثامن من شهر المولد اللي هو شهر ربيع الأول. وقيل في سابع عشرين رجب، وقيل في السابع والعشرين من رجب أول مجيء الوحي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قيل في اليوم الثامن من ربيع الأول.
Some narrations say that the revelation started in ربيع الأول, the month of ربيع الأول. Other narrations mention that that happened in Rajab.
في رمضان الطيب.
And the majority or the authentic narrations mentioned that the revelation started in Ramadan, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have revealed it in the night of the decree, and the night of the decree is in Ramadan.
لكن طبعا الفريق الذي يقول يعني ان الوحي كان في شهر ربيع او في شهر رجب فيقولون المقصود بنزول القرآن في رمضان نزول القرآن جملة, لأن القرآن أنزل إيه تنزيلين, تنزيل الأول هو تنزيل القرآن جملة.
The party that mentioned the Quran was revealed in a month other than Ramadan referred to the fact that Quran has been descended to the earth on two stages. The first stage is when it was descended as a whole to a place in the heaven of this life called Baytul Izza, or the House of Dignity. And then the revelation, the second stage of the revelation happened when it was revealed or taken from that House of Dignity in the heaven of this life in parts to the Prophet, peace be upon
him. فالمقصود هنا بدء الرؤية الصالحة, أن الرؤية استمرت ستة أشهر.
And
ثم
the party that mentioned that it was revealed in Ramadan said that there is no conflict here, because if you think that it was revealed in Rabi' al-Awwal, then you might be referring to the fact that the revelation started with visions in his sleep. That these visions in his sleep took place or started taking place 6 months before the revelation from the angel. The question here, why Quran was revealed in parts rather than as a whole? That is because Allah wanted to stabilize his heart. make him as strong in faith as possible. Because if it was revealed all as a whole, it would only take place once, and the angel and the revelation would go away after that. But Allah didn't want that. Allah wanted the Quran to be revealed to him in parts, so that it would take long time, and during that time the angel would come to him again and again and again, and Quran would be revealed to him again and again and again. That is one reason. The other, second reason is that Quran also came to reflect events that took place at that time. Events that took place at that time. So an event would take place and Quran would come to tell the story about that event and the lessons and examples that can be taken from that event.
والمقصود هنا يعني مجيء جبريل عليه السلام إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال له اقرأ وتكرر هذا إيه ثلاث مرات وهو في المرار يعني وهو في المرات الإيه الثلاث المرار يعني المرات ويقصد المرات الإيه الثلاث
so the angel came
يجيب نطقا ما أنا بقاري
the يعني angel came to
him إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
and said to him three times
يعني إيه
ضمه read, and in each and every time he would hug him. He would hug him strongly. He would hold him strongly. Each and every time he would hold him very strongly and then let go of him and would say, read. The Prophet would say, I cannot read.
فقال له اقرأ بعد المرة الثالثة اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ
and then the last time after the third time he revealed to him the chapter of read that we have in the Quran read by the name of your Lord who taught the man what the man taught the man what the man never knew
قرأه كما له به نطق يعني فقرأه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما ايه سمعه من جبريل عليه السلام وجبريل عليه السلام سمعه من رب العالمين سبحانه وتعالى نعم انصبغ انصبغ يعني اكتسب جلدا وقوة
The brother is asking about the meaning of the word nsabagh in Arabic. It means that he gained toughness because of the treatment of the angel. Here, when the angel held him strongly and let go of him, the Prophet, peace be upon him, got prepared for what was waiting for him for the long way of da'wah, long way of inviting people to the path of Allah, a way that was full for him, full of lots of events, full of lots of events. So this chapter was revealed first, the chapter of Al-Alaq, which reads, read by the name of your Lord who taught humans what they never knew. Jabir ibn Abdullah, the companion, claimed that the first chapter was ever revealed to the Prophet is Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir, or you, the one who is covered. But
أول ما أنزل بعد فترة الوحي
يعني maybe he means that this is the first verse or the first chapter was revealed after the revelation took a while to come back.
أو أنه أول ما أرسل به قالوا نبئ بالعلق وأرسل بالمدثر لعلهم يقصدون أول ما أنزل يعني أولية مقيدة إما أولية بعد الفترة أو أولية يعني بعد أول ما أنزل يعني يأمره بالتبليغ يعني ان سورة العلق ليس فيها امر بالتبليغ فهذا على القول بان النبي هو
And another opinion is that the chapter of Al-Alaq, the first one that was revealed, did not carry any message of delivering the message. But the chapter of Ya Ayyuha al-Muddathir, or you who is covered, stand up and warn your people. It carries a message of the message itself that was given to the Prophet, or the responsibility that is waiting for him as the messenger of Allah. Another or a third opinion said that the first chapter was ever revealed is the chapter of Al-Fatiha. شيخ
نعم
هل في دراسة من العلماء في الحكمة من فترة الوحي؟
يعني ما هي الحكمة من فترة الوحي أو كذا؟ هو يعني اجتهادات يعني بعض العلماء وكذا.
Is there any study among the scholars about why the revelation took a while after the first time? It took a while to come back. It took a while to come back. The scholars said the reason for that is that Allah wanted people to know that this revelation is the true one, it's not from the Prophet. The Prophet was not imagining it, it was not an imagination, it was truth. And it was not out of his own words, it's not his own words. Because if it was of his own speech, if it was his own words, it wouldn't have taken a long time to come back to him. Isn't that true? If I say something from my own mind, I wouldn't take too long. I would be able straightforward to keep on going and claiming that I'm receiving revelation. But to stop and wait for the revelation to come back and be very sad that it hasn't come back yet means that I have nothing in my hands. I'm really receiving revelation. So this is what happened to him. He got saddened because the angel left and took a long time to come back. This is evidence for people who claim that he claimed Quran out of his own words. Evidence for them that this is not the truth. This is not true. What the truth is, this is angel, and he didn't say that out of his own mind.
قال جاء إلى خديجة الأمينة يشكو لها ما قد رآه حين
فثبتته إنها من الصدق أول ما قد آمن مصدقا. He was scared and he ran back to his wife Khadija.
يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء إلى خديجة أم المؤمنين
the mother of the believers. He ran back to her and she was his friend. He would complain to her anything that would happen to him. That is what a wife should be. He should be a man's friend. So he ran back to her and he told her the story. He told her the story. He was scared. Imagine an angel showing up for someone. Definitely he was scared. So he ran back to her. And he complained or he told her the story. Rather than scaring him up more, she actually worked hard to reassure him. She said to him, I swear by Allah, Allah will never let you down. You are dutiful to your kinship. You are generous with your gifts. You are credible and you say always the truth. You support the needy. You sponsor the orphan or do good deeds. Allah will never let you down. You give for those who are in dire need. Those who don't have a source of income, you support them. You support them. Those who do not have a source of income, you support them. You spend on them. You carry those who cannot walk. It means, it has two meanings, a concrete one and an abstract one. The concrete one is that you really carry them when they cannot walk. And the abstract meaning is that when someone is incapable of doing anything, incapable of carrying the burdens of this life, you support them, you carry these burdens on behalf of them. So you do all these good deeds. If someone went through a tribulation, you support them.
أو تعديه على الآخرين أو كذا وإنما فهم لا
So Allah will never let you down. How would you do all these good deeds and Allah would let you down? He would never let you down. So this is a good example. This is a perfect example of a beautiful wife who supports her husband in the time of need. She said, "You are credible. You are honest." So she reassured him. She said, someone with these characteristics will never be let down by Allah. Someone with these characteristics will never be let down by Allah.
أول ما قد آمنت مصدقة فكانت إيه أول من صدق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
So she was the first one آمن به على to believe in him The first one ever to believe in him
ثم أتت به تأم ورقة قص عليه ما رأى
She gave him a very good consultation She said to him Or she took him to her cousin ورقة And we told the story before But came here again in this poetry Saying that Or taking him to Her cousin ورقة ورقة ابن
المصدوق قال إنه رأى له تخضخضا في الجنة طيب تخطفضا يعني حركة تخطفض هو الحركة يعني الحركة يعني رآه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحرك في الجنة فنذكر هنا إيه أم المؤمنين خديجة رضي الله عنها
So خديجة the wife of the prophet the mother of believers
صلى الله عليه وسلم أن إيه
told the prophet أن يقص أمره على ورقة من نوفل tell his story to her cousin ورقة بن نوفل
ورقة بن نوفل هو ابن عم النبي
and ورقة
ابن عم النبي ابن عم
cousin of خديجة cousin of خديجة may Allah be pleased with her
خديجة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها وكان امرأ قد تنصر وكان يكتب الكتاب العبراني كما إيه في صحيح البخاري وفي رواية الأخرى وكان يكتب الكتاب العربي
And he was a Christian or a Muslim after the Sharia of Jesus. A Muslim after the Sharia of Jesus.
طبعا ورقة بن نوفل رضي الله عنه كان واحدا من الحنفاء الذين كانوا يعبدون الله.
In fact, ورقة بن نوفل in the very beginning used to worship Allah after the Sharia of Ibrahim. He himself with others, Zayd ibn Amr ibn Rufail and others that worshipped Allah after the Sharia of Ibrahim. And then he went with
Zayd
ibn Amr ibn Rufail to Syria to listen to the monks of Christians.
Warqa
ibn Nawfal decided after he listened to the monks to embrace Islam after the Sharia of Jesus. But Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nawfal decided to remain after the Sharia of Ibrahim.
وحد الله سبحانه وتعالى في فترة التي قبل بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل من كان يعبد الله تعالى وحده لا يشرك به شيئا ويتعبد لله تعالى على شريعة أي نبي من الأنبياء السابقين بحسب ما بلغه فهو ناجي كل من كان يعني على شريعة نبي من
And the scholars said that anyone who worshipped Allah alone as a monotheist before the Prophet peace be upon him, in the time before, in the time between the Prophet, in the time between Jesus and Muhammad, any time during that time, if someone worshipped Allah alone and was a monotheist, he will be one of those that survive on the judgment day. In fact, there is a hadith in which the Prophet said that Allah looked at the people of the earth and he hated them at that time, except for few amongst the people of the world that worshipped him alone.
أحد يعني دينا غير دين الإسلام ولا شريعة غير شريعة محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام المهم أن ورقة تنصب وتعلم الإنجيل في الشام وكان يكتب الكتاب العبراني وكان
So the point is, or the point out of our story is that Waraqa became Muslim after the Sharia of Jesus.
بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى ابن عمها ورقة وقالت إيه يا ابن عمي اسمع من ابن أخي قالت يا ابن عم اسمع من ابن أخي فقص عليه ما رآه فصدقه ورقة بن نوفل وقال هذا ورقة الناموس الذي أنزل الله على موسى
She said to Waraqa, my cousin, listen to your nephew. And Waraqa said that this is the angel that Allah sent to Moses.
والناموس اللي هو ينقل الخبر بغرض الايه الخير والاصلاح فقال انه الناموس يقصد جبريل عليه السلام فقال انه الناموس الذي انزل الله على موسى يا ليتني فيها جدعا
He said, I hope that I will be a young man. I hope or I wish I were a young man, then I would give you victory when your people dismiss you out of your town. So the Prophet said, will they dismiss me? Waraqa said, of course, no one ever came with what you come with, except that his people will be enemies to him. And if I were there at that time, I would give you victory.
فكان هذا خبر ايه ورقة وتقول ام المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها روت يعني القصة قالت ايه ثم لم يلبث ايه ورقة ان توفي
right after that ورقة died right after that ورقة died
ورقة رضي الله عنها قال فهو الذي آمن بعد ثانية كل ثاني من أسلم بعد خديجة رضي الله عنها هو ورقة
Here the author says that this is the second person to believe in the prophet after
Khadijah. ولذلك يعني فإن يعني القول الصحيح الصواب الذي عليه يعني أكثر علماء أهل السنة عبد ورقة رضي الله عنه
Because
من الصحابة
والتابعين. The people of Sunnah actually counted Waraqa among the companions. Because there are multiple or several hadiths that mention that he embraced Islam.
رآه إيه
One of the hadiths is that the Prophet peace be upon him saw him moving in the paradise.
عليه الصلاة والسلام. وأخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه رأى لورقة في الجنة درجتين رأى له درجتين في الجنة
قال النريشنز mentioned that the Prophet peace be upon him saw ورقة
أخضر
in green clothes
رؤيته يتحرك في الجنة قال هذا كان يعني يوم الإسراء والرؤى التي بعد ذات رؤى منامية يعني رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رؤى منامية
Another narration also said that the Prophet saw him
ورأى ورقة في الجنة وعليه لباس
having two
الأخضر يعني
levels from the levels of the paradise. All these are signs that Waraqa ended up with a good end and that he is amongst the people of the paradise. Because he believed in the Prophet, peace be upon him. And everything that he said indicates that. He said, if I were there when your people dismiss you, I will give you clear victory. So Al-Hafidh al-Iraqi here, the author counted him as the second person to embrace Islam.
ورقة
was a believer. He believed in the Prophet, peace be upon him.
الباب الذي بعده قال باب ذكر إقامته.
The following chapter
ذكر قدر إقامته عليه السلام بمكة بعد البعث.
Is about how long the Prophet peace be upon him stayed in Mecca.
إقامته عليه الصلاة والسلام بمكة بعد
البعث. After the revolution started.
قال أقام في مكة بعد البعثة 13 بغير مرية وقيل عشرا أو فخمس عشرة قولان وهمهما بمرة. يقول إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقام بعد البعثة
في مكة 13 سنة بغير he started receiving the revelation for 13 years. No doubt about that. 13 years. He stayed in Mecca for 13 years after the revelation started. There are other opinions that mentioned 10 years, but these opinions are wrong. The true one is 13 years.
بعد البعثة في مكة أجابوا عنها قالوا إما أنه على سبيل التقريب يعني 13 فيمكن أن تقرب يعني إلى 10 أو تقرب إلى 15 يعني إن الذين قالوا أقام بمكة 10 يقصدون على سبيل التقريب يعني أو 15 سنة يعني على سبيل التقريب وليس على سبيل التحديد لكن الذين ذكروا 13 سنة هؤلاء يقصدونها تحديدا أو رأي آخر يعني قالوا إنه يحتمل أن الذين قالوا 15 سنة حسبوا معها يعني الفترة التي كان يعني يسمع فيها تسليم الحجر والشجر ويسمع الصوت
and other
فترة الرؤية الصالحة وكذا فعدوا
those or the party that said 15 years
فجعلوها 15 سنة
it might have been because they counted the time before the revelation of the angel
المدة التي
since some sort of revelation started
يعني كان يدعو سرا في فترة يعني 3 سنوات كان يدعو
in fact some said that it might be a little bit longer than 13 years because there were some years where the Prophet peace be upon him inviting people to Islam in secret not in public but the most authentic or the correct opinion is that he stayed in Mecca for 13 years after he started after revelation started
البيت من بين يديه أيضا فيما أتى تطوعا
while he was in Mecca to do the prayer to say the prayer he would say the prayer facing Jerusalem but he would make Kaaba or the holy shrine in Mecca in his way or between himself and Jerusalem the tomb of the rock was the place where every one of the prophets before Prophet Muhammad would face in their prayers so the Prophet peace be upon him was doing the same thing facing the dome of the rock in his prayer because that's the Qibla or that's the direction that the prophets before the Prophet had and he followed their traces and did the same thing but then he followed their traces and did the same thing but then he loved to have Kaaba as his Qibla or as his direction of the prayer so he made Kaaba always between himself and Jerusalem when he would say his prayers. So he would face in his direction, he would face Kaaba and Jerusalem. He would make Kaaba in the way between himself and Jerusalem when he was saying his prayers.
بحيث يصلي فتكون الكعبة بينه وبين بيت المقدس في جميع صلواته نفلا وفرضا قال فيما أتى تطوعا أو فرضا من كل صلوات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الفرض والتطوع يجعل الكعبة بينه وبين بيت المقدس عليه الصلاة والسلام وهو في مكة كان يحب استقبال الكعبة فيجعلها بينه وبين بيت المقدس قال وبعد هجرة كذا للقدس عاما وثلثا عاما وثلثا أو نصف سدس وحولت من بعد ذاك القبلة لكعبة الله ونعم الجهة يقول كذلك بعد أن هجر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى المدينة
so after the prophet migrated
يستقبل بيت المقدس
to Medina
عاما وثلثا عاما وثلثا يعني
he continued to face Jerusalem in his prayer
4 أشهر
for 1 year and 4 months.
قال أو نصف سدس.
And in some other narrations.
16 شهرا أو 17 شهرا. يعني في صحيح البخاري أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد أن هاجر.
1 year and 5 months.
صلى إلى بيت المقدس 16 شهرا أو 17 شهرا. لو قلنا 16 شهرا وهنا الناظم إيه جعلها قال إيه عاما وثلثا. من العام 12 والثلث 4 يبقى المجموع إيه 16. لو زدت عليها نصف سدس سنة نصف سدس سنة يعني شهر زيادة. يعني سدس سنة 12 شهرا نصف السدس يعني 1 على 12 يعني نزيد عليها شهرا من أيضا فتصبح 17 شهرا. والخلاصة من حديث البخاري إيه.
So the point is that the Prophet, peace be upon him, after he migrated to Medina, he continued to face Jerusalem in his prayers for 16 or in some other narrations 17 months. And then he received the revelation to, rather than facing Jerusalem, to face Kaaba. When he moved to Medina, when he migrated to Medina, he was not able to make Kaaba in his way to Jerusalem anymore when facing Jerusalem, because there was no way for him to make Kaaba in the middle of Medina and Jerusalem. So rather than doing that, he just faced Jerusalem. So the Prophet was asking Allah sincerely to divert the Qibla or the direction of the prayer to Kaaba. So Allah responded to his prayers and ordered him to face Mecca in his prayers.
بعد ذلك قال باب ذكر السابقين للإسلام.
Now the following chapter is about those that preceded to Islam, those that became Muslims very quickly after the Prophet received the message. Those that preceded to Islam.
هذا البيت يعني ليس هذا موضوعه. موجود مع الكتاب. البيت اللي هو من الرجال ابن أبي الصحافة هذا البيت ليس هذا مكانه يعني ممكن يصب عليه أو كده عجينا مكانه بعدين إن شاء الله ليس هذا مكانه الباب هذا أخره إيه لكعبة الله ونعم الجفة هل ستوجد بعض الأخطاء المطبعية الخليلة يعني
It's not a question, actually, it's a mistake in the print. There is a stanza where it doesn't belong in the chapter show. So Sheikh asked people to omit or to strike over, which is this last one. But anyways, now the following chapter is about those that preceded to Islam. Those that preceded to Islam.
قال به حسان في القصيدة.
The last stanza in the chapter that we just finished
belongs
in the first.
قال به حسان في القصيدة.
Right after the chapter, this current chapter starts. وعدة من الصحابة الأولى. So the first one who embraced Islam is Abu Bakr.
وتابعوهم ممن تلا.
And many other companions.
خديجة تذكر أول النسوان.
We have to mention Khadija, his wife, as the first woman.
أول الصبيان.
And Ali ibn Abi Talib as the first boy, and at that time he was only 8, and in other stories mentioned or narrations mentioned that he was 6 or 10 or even 5 among the servants Zayd ibn Haritha. And then Uthman al-Zubayr ibn Auf, Talha and Sa'd. All those became amongst those that preceded Islam. Also Ibn Mad'un, and then Abu Ubaidah, and then Al-Arqam, and then Abu Salama, and then Abu Sa'id, and then Khalid, and then Ibn Zayd.
تدل على أن أبا بكر
and then Fatima, the sister of Umar.
طيب نأتي هنا مرة أخرى. يقول ذكر السابقين إلى الإسلام.
Again, we go through those who preceded to Islam. These are the
first people that believed in the message of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Amongst the men,
Abu Bakr comes first. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq,
he is the first companion. He comes first, and his true name is Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa.
ابن أبي قحافة.
That is his name, Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa, and his nickname is Abu Bakr.
واسمه عبد الله.
ابن أبي قحافة.
هذا أول من أسلم من الرجال.
He is the first one to believe among
طبعا
his men. If we don't count ورقة ابن نوفل, because remember that some scholars mentioned that ورقة ابن نوفل is amongst those that preceded.
يعني ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالدعوة أو كذا, لكن
at that time
مرجوح يعني الصواب عد ورقة من الصحابة. لكن هنا يقول يعني
the message
إن أول
was
من أسلم
not sent
من الرجال
yet.
هو أبو
it was
بكر
just a revelation.
رضي الله عنه وأرضاه.
So the correct opinion is that Abu Bakr was the first man to believe in the Prophet.
حسان هو الذي قال هذا إن أول من أسلم هو أبو بكر. قال بهذا حسان بن أبي ثابت في قصيدته. ما هي قصيدة حسان اللي هي الأبيات الموجودة عندكم دي اللي هي قال حسان بن ثابت رضي الله عنه
and حسان بن ثابت the poet of the Prophet peace be upon him
تذكر أخاك أبا بكر بما فعل خير البرية أتقاها وأعدلها
wrote poetry about this event about Abu Bakr embracing Islam the first to be the first to embrace
الثاني المحمود believing in the Prophet peace be upon him وأول الناس منهم صدق الرسل. وهنا ايه ابيات حسان يعني الشاهد منها ان حسان بن ثابت يمدح ابا بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه بانه اول
حسان بن ثابت the poet of the Prophet peace be upon him
يعني
mentioned
أول
in his poem that the first one who believed in the Prophet was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. May Allah be pleased with him.
وليس هناك يعني تعارض بين كل اول من اسلم ابو بكر اول من اسلم ورقه, يعني الاوليه يمكن ان تكون ايه يعني مقيدة يعني فهو يعني أول من أسلم ممن يعني بقي من الصحابة وممن يعني ممن دعاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الإسلام أو كذا, أول من دعاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الإسلام من الرجال فأسلم وكذا هو أبو بكر.
And there's no conflict here between him being the first one to embrace Islam and Waraq ibn Nawfal being a companion, because the difference is that Abu Bakr responded to an invitation to Islam. Waraq ibn Nawfal supported the Prophet, but the Abu Bakr responded to an invitation of the Prophet to Islam.
يعني أول من أسلم هو أبو بكر رضي الله عنه, ثم أيضا إنه تبع أبا بكر في إسلامه
and
عدد من الصحابة
because,
رضي الله عنه.
Because Abu Bakr became a Muslim, many other companions followed suit. Many of his friends, many of those who knew him followed suit.
على إثر أبي بكر رضي الله عنه.
Because Abu Bakr embraced Islam, so the fact that Abu Bakr embraced Islam caused many others around him to embrace Islam. Now moving to the women, the first one amongst the women who embraced Islam was his wife Khadija. And amongst the boys, there was Ali ibn Abi Talib, his cousin. And at that time, there are several opinions about how old he was. An opinion says that he was 8. Others say that he was 10. Some say that he was 6, 5, or even older than that. So the point is, he was young. And he embraced Islam at that young age. At that young age.
قال عمره ثمان, كان عمره ثمان سنين او معشر يعني او كان عمره عشر سنين او ست سنين او خمس سنين وقيل اكبر من هذا. فاذا هذه عدة اراء في عمر علي رضي الله عنه. قيل اكبر من هذا يعني قيل 12 سنة وقيل 15 سنة, هذا اكبر من ما ذكر في عدد في عمر يعني علي رضي الله عنه. يعني الآراء تتراوح ما بين يعني
All these opinions span an age of, from as young as 5 to as old as 15 actually. But the most famous opinion and probably the correct one is that he was 8. He was 8. This is going to become the fourth caliph later on. So such an important character in Islam. He embraced Islam when he was 8 and he became the fourth caliph after the death of the Prophet, peace be upon him. But who was the first to ever embrace Islam? It was the Khadija, the wife of the Prophet. And the rest of those that are mentioned here, it would be very tough to put them in order because they embraced Islam in one day. So the difference between them might be difference of hours. Difference of hours. Actually, all those embraced Islam on the first day when the Prophet peace be upon him received that message. All of them embraced Islam on one day. So you would not know who was before who. The first to embrace Islam amongst the servants was Zayd ibn Haritha, because there was slavery at that time. Remember, there was slavery. And he was a slave.
صبي من قبيلته وصار لقريش لحكيم بن حزام حكيم بن حزام وهبه لعمته خديجة
وهبته خديجة ورسوله to خديجة
وكان أبوه عنه يبحثاني عنه فلما يعني شب زيد يعني سمع به أبوه وعمه فأتيا إلى مكة لما صبي في مكان وبيع يعني ووصل إلى مكة وكذا كان أهله يبحثون عنه فجاء أبوه وعمه فأتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال يا سيد قومه يا ابن عبد المطلب يا سيد قومه جئناك في ولدنا فمن علينا فإننا ندفع لك الفداء.
So Zayd ibn Haritha, he was a slave. He was taken as a prisoner of war when he was very young, at a very young age. So his family looked for him, but they couldn't find him. And when they heard, when they heard that he was owned by Khadija, they came to the Prophet and they said to him, O master of your tribe, we came to you asking you to give us back our boy. And we would pay you whatever you want. The Prophet said, how about giving him the choice if he wants to go back to you or remain here? So when his family told him, come back with us, Zayd said, I would never choose anyone above the Prophet, peace be upon him. I am from him and he is from me, and there is no way I'm leaving this place. So the Prophet said, would you remain a slave and prefer slavery over freedom? So at that moment, the Prophet, peace be upon him, set him free. He set him free. He emancipated him or set him free. And he adopted him. He adopted him before adoption became prohibited in Islam. At the beginning, adoption was not prohibited in Islam. So the Prophet adopted Zayd ibn Haritha. But then later on, adoption became prohibited in Islam. Adoption is prohibited in Islam. There might be a question here about that. Go ahead and ask Sheikh why. And the Prophet loved them a great deal. الأخ يسأل الشيخ ليش التبني حرام في الإسلام؟
التبني حرام يعني
Why adoption is prohibited in Islam so that progenies would not be mixed? One of the major things in Islam is to maintain progeny so that people know the lineage
so that
people would not mix the lineage
up.
So the son of XY does not become of the son of X does not become the son of Y, the son of Y would not become the son of Z. But Islam fosters a great deal sponsoring the orphans, spending money on them, taking care of them, taking good care of them. But when it comes to the lineage, you cannot call someone after someone else. So John cannot be the son of Ed if he is not really the son of Ed. He has to be his son to become his son. You cannot call him after someone who does not belong to him. As long as he's not his father, he cannot be his son. So a kid of a different marriage cannot belong to another marriage. Islam is very big at that issue, the issue of maintaining or preserving the lineage. The lineage has to be pure, pure blood. Someone who came from a different marriage cannot be attributed to someone else. However, fostering the sponsorship of orphans is big in Islam. Taking good care of orphans is big in Islam. But not mixing up lineage.
كذا ابن مزعون بذا الطريق. فهنا يذكر ايه من السابقين يعني الذين اسلموا ذكر الناظم رحمه الله تعالى 57 رجلا وامرأة من السابقين الأولين إلى الإسلام ولا السابقون الأولون إلى الإسلام رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم.
In fact, the narrators say that there were around 57 people who preceded to Islam, who rushed into Islam, became Muslim very quickly. 57 of them. The first of them was Khadija and Abu Bakr and Ali, Zayd.
ثم بعد ذلك في هذا البيت يقول عثمان بن عفان.
عثمان بن عفان
والزبير بن العوام
الزبير بن عوام
بن عوف
عبد الرحمن بن عوف طلحة
بن عبيد الله
ابن عبيد الله
وسعد بن
أبي وقاص ابن أبي وقاص
هؤلاء رضي الله عنهم آمنوا بدعوات الصديق هؤلاء كانوا
تجارا
مثل أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه
because of Abu Bakr الصديق
وكان هؤلاء أصدقاء
they embraced Islam because they were the friends of Abu Bakr الصديق
كانوا من التجار وكانوا
they were actually merchants and they were the friends of Abu Bakr الصديق and when Abu Bakr الصديق embraced Islam they embraced Islam because of him
صلى الله عليه وسلم
All these embraced Islam in the first day
and
the first day. They became Muslims upon the hands of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And he brought them to the Prophet Muslims on the second day. And all those are amongst the 10 companions that were promised to
Paradise.
So that they were not promised to Paradise for free. They were promised to Paradise because they were amongst the very first few believers. On the second day, after Abu Bakr embraced Islam on the first day, they embraced Islam on his hands on the second day.
فأمنوا من خوف إذ آمنوا بدعوات الصديق يعني أمنوا من الخوف حيث آمنوا مستجيبين لدعوة أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. ثم ابن مزعون يقصد به عثمان بن مزعون رضي الله عنه عثمان بن مزعون رضي الله عنه قالوا يعني كان ترتيبه في الإسلام الرابع عشر أسلم بعد 13 شخصا أسلم قبله وقبله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد موته
And then Uthman ibn Maz'un, who was a very beloved companion to the Prophet, who died in the lifetime of the Prophet, and the Prophet kissed him before burying him. Amongst those who proceeded to Islam too.
يعني أسلم أيضا بدعوة أبي بكر الصديق. كان قد كتب مظعون
ابن الصديق. ابن مظعون became a Muslim upon the hands of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. That can tell you what kind of a person Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was, what kind of an inviter to Islam he was.
السابقين يعني على يد أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه. قال ثم أبو عبيدة والأرقم كذا أبو سلامة المكرم.
And then Abu Ubaidah.
من السابقين الأولين أبو عبيدة بن الجراح.
And then Abu Salama.
رضي الله عنه وهو أحد العشرة
من أبو عبيدة also among the ten promised to progress. So you can see here that those ten why are they huge? Because they were among those that rushed into Islam.
الأرقم بن أبي الأرقم.
And also الأرقم.
رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. ويعني قيل يعني في ترتيب الإسلامي يعني قيل كان سابعا من أسلم وقيل كان.
It was mentioned that he was the seventh, and others mentioned that he was the 11th among those who became Muslims.
من السابقين الأولين إما السابع وإما الحادي عشر.
كان شاب شيخ صحيح؟ من
أسلم. لو الأرقم ابن أبي الأرقم.
كان شاب يقال هذا صحيح ولا؟
نعم رضي الله عنه.
He was a young man.
كذا أبو سلمة اللي هو عبد الله بن
عبد
الأسد المخزومي. عبد الله بن عبد الأسد المخزومي الذي مر بنا أنه إيه كان أخا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الرضاعة.
And then Abu Salama, that we mentioned at the very beginning, that he was the brother of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in breastfeeding. The same person or lady that breastfed the Prophet, peace be upon him, also breastfed Abu Salama.
Abu Salama, رضي الله عنه, وكان أول من هاجر إلى الحبشة, وكان أقل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال وابن سعيد خالد قد أسلم وقيل بل قبله متقدما. من ضمن السابقين الأولين إلى الإسلام خالد بن سعيد بن عمرو بن سعيد بن العاص. خالد بن سعيد بن عمرو بن سعيد بن العاص الأموي رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. خالد بن سعيد كان من السابقين.
أوصى خالد بن سعيد.
فأسلم بعد هؤلاء. وقيل بل تقدم قبلهم. فقيل يعني الروايات التي وردت في إسلام.
Narrators do not know the order of his Islam. Some put him amongst those that, in fact, some narrators mentioned that he was the fourth to embrace Islam, and some others placed him after Abu Ubaidah.
هذا خالد بن سعيد بن العاص رضي الله عنه وكان من المهاجرين إلى الحبشة.
And he was amongst those that migrated to Abyssinia, the first migration.
كذا ابن زيد أي سعيد لا مرى وزوجه فاطمة أخت عمر.
Also,
كذلك من السابقين إلى الإسلام سعيد بن زيد.
سعيد بن زيد.
ابن زيد أي سعيد. سعيد بن زيد وهو من العشرة.
Who was amongst the ten.
بالجنة رضي الله عنه.
The husband of Fatima, the sister of Umar ibn Khattab.
عمر ابن الخطاب.
And he is the cousin of Umar ibn Khattab.
عمر ابن الخطاب. وزوجته فاطمة بنت الخطاب هي أخت عمر.
So Sa'id ibn Zayd, one of the ten, was the husband of Fatima, the sister of Umar, and he was the cousin of Umar too.
يعني زوجته فاطمة بنت الخطاب اللي هي إيه أخت عمر. هو كان متزوجة هو وعمر يعني أبناء عمومة, وهو كان متزوجة أخت عمر, وعمر كان متزوجة بأخته.
Umar was married to his sister too. So Sa'id ibn Zayd was the cousin of Umar, and he was married to his sister. And Umar was married to the sister of Sa'id ibn Zayd. And Sa'id ibn Zayd and his wife Fatima, the sister of Umar, became Muslims before Umar became a Muslim. And Umar was a scary guy. When they heard that he was coming, approaching their house to make sure if they became a Muslim or became Muslims or not, there was one of the companions reciting the Quran to them, and he hid in a cupboard or something. So Sa'id ibn Zayd was amongst the ten companions who were promised to paradise.
نعم. أنا على عشرة كده. لسه عمر ما جالس كده. لسه عمر. طيب. قال كذاك عبد الله مع قدامة هما لمظعون سعيد الهامة. هنا يشير إلى عبد الله بن مظعون وقدامة ابن مظعون أخوا عثمان بن مظعون. هذه أسرة مباركة.
Another whole family, the family of مظعون.
أيضا أخواه عبد الله
بن مظعون. The brothers of ابن مظعون. The whole family now became Muslims.
سعيد الهامة.
The whole family.
الهامة يعني الرأس. الهامة الرأس وسعيد
الهامة. The whole family embraced Islam and were amongst the those who proceeded to Islam. And they were famous for courage. This whole family, the family of مظعون.
The
family of مظعون. قدامة عبد الله
and وقدامة ابن مظعون كان من السابقين.
Were amongst the preceders to Islam. They proceeded to Islam.
قال وحاطب حطاب ابن الحارث أسماء عائش وهي غير طامث. يعني أيضا إيه في السابقين الأولين.
And amongst those that proceeded to Islam.
حاطب وحطاب ابن الحارث
الجمحي. And حطاب. The two children of Al Harith.
الحارث الجمحي وحطاب ابن الحارث الجمحي. رضي الله عنهما وكان أخوين. وكان من المهاجرين إلى الحبشة. وهؤلاء الذين هاجروا إلى الحبشة
amongst those that migrated to Abyssinia at the beginning. And those who migrated to Abyssinia, if you read a biography, you'll know that those who migrated to Abyssinia were people that were subjected to a lot of torment from Quraysh. Then the Prophet gave him permission to leave the place and migrate to Abyssinia.
حاطب بن الحارث الجمحي وحطاب بن الحارث الجمحي رضي الله عنهما كان من المهاجرين إلى الحبشة ومن السابقين الأولين. أسماء عائش. أسماء عائشة ابنة الصديق. أسماء يقصد أسماء بنت أبي بكر الصديق. وعائش يقصد عائشة بنت أبي بكر الصديق.
أسماء أن عائشة the two children, the two daughters of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq were amongst those who proceeded to Islam. And at the time they were young. They haven't even reached puberty yet.
يعني كانت صغيرة لم تبلغ. وإسلامهما تبعا لإسلام أبيهما.
And they became again Muslims because of their father Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. You can see how was the caliber of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq in this religion.
بعض العلماء يعني اعترض على عدد عائشة رضي الله عنها من السابقين الأولين إلى الإسلام. قالوا لأنها يعني ولدت بعد البعثة بخمسة أعوام. يعني ولادة عائشة.
Some scholars objected on counting عائشة amongst those that proceeded to Islam because she was born after the message or after the revolution started by 5 years. So she did not witness the time of those who proceeded to Islam.
لكن يعني هو طلق عبد أسماء فعبد معها يعني قال كذا ابن إسحاق بذا انفرد ولم تكن عائش ممن ولد. يعني إذن هو نفس الايه المؤلف أشار إلى ضعف هذا الايه القول. يعني هو يعني إذا الناظم على طريقته يعني أنه يعني يشير إلى القول ولو كان مرجوحا ويشير إلى ضعفه. فيقول يعني إن ابن إسحاق وهو من إيه كذلك من السيرة
ابن إسحاق
كما ذكرنا يعني الناس في السيرة في عيال على
told ابن إسحاق
رحمه الله. فيقول
ابن إسحاق is one of the famous biographers or historians of the biography of the Prophet peace be upon him. He is actually the most major, the most famous historian of Prophet's biography.
في وقت إسلام السابقين الأولين. لكن أسماء رضي الله عنها كان يعني ممن حضر يعني بدايات البعثة وعبد رضي الله عنه. قال فاطمة فكيهة الزوجان تلك لذاك هذه للثاني. من السابقين الأولين إلى الإسلام
فاطمة وفكيهة
رضي الله
عنهما
وهما زوجتا حاطب وحطاب ابن الحارث.
And these are the two wives of حاطب and حطاب. the ones that we mentioned earlier.
فاطمة بنت المجلل.
Her name is فاطمة بنت المجلل.
رضي الله عنها هذه زوجة إيه؟ حاطب ابن الحارث الجمح. كانت هي وزوجها من السابقين الأولين إلى الإسلام ومن إلى الحبشة.
Husband.
فاطمة بنت المجلل.
Were among those that preceded to Islam and amongst those who migrated the first migration to Abyssinia.
حاطب ابن الحارث الجمح. وفكيهة اسمها فكيهة بنت يسار. فكيهة بنت يسار رضي الله عنها وهي ايه زوجة من حطاب ابن الحارث الجمحي وهي وزوجها من المهاجرين الى الحبشة رضي الله عنها. قال تلك لذاك هذه لذاك يعني فاطمة.
Fatima was the wife of Hatib and Fukayha was the wife of
Ubaidah ibn Harith Khabbab ibn al-Araq kulluhum ajabu. Huna al-Hadi wal-Ishrun
fi taqdim al-awwaliyyah. Now when you count you reach 21, so Ubaidah ibn Harith becomes the 21st and Khabbab ibn al-Araq becomes the 22nd. He's counting them one by one. Those who preceded to Islam, we're counting them one by one. These are the early adopters. These are the ones who believed right away. As soon as they heard the message, they rushed into it. They believed in it. They embraced it.
خباب ابن الأرت. خباب ابن الأرت. رضي الله عنه
حباب ابن الأرت. May Allah be pleased with him.
وكان قد صبي في الجاهلية فاشترته امرأة.
And he was a slave.
فأعتقته.
Who was bought by a woman from a tribe called خزاعة. But then she set him free. He was also among those that preceded to Islam.
وممن عذب في سبيل الله كان
and he was actually tormented because of embracing Islam. And he once looked very bad because of torture and he came to the Prophet and he said to the Prophet, pray for us, we are being tormented because of embracing Islam, pray to us, pray for us. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, you have to be patient. People among the nations before you will be brought and will be jigsawed into two halves, but that would not make them deny the religion. Religion is not easy. You have to hold on tight to your religion. So he was among those that preceded into Islam, and he was tormented because of that. Huge deal. Khabbab ibn al-Arat, that is his name, one of the major companions.
Khabbab ibn al-Arat كان ممن ايه اسلم على يد ابي بكر الصديق ايضا رضي الله عنه. والكثير من هؤلاء الذين
they were tortured, big deal. In fact, they were bringing huge stones and placing them on their stomachs, and they would tie their hands in ropes and pull the ropes to the extent that they would cut them in half and stuff like that. They tortured them really bad. Those that proceeded to Islam, the idolaters in Quraysh tortured them big time. They tortured them really big time. They were subjected to huge torture.
شيخ
هل في اي تفاصيل في يعني كيف اقنعهم او كيف ان هو يعني دي اسماء كبيره جدا يعني كيف ان هو دعاهم واقنعهم بالاسلام؟ طيب جزاكم الله خير. I was asking Sheikh about if there is any any idea about what did he do to bring all these big names right away into Islam. A lot of those who embraced Islam amongst the 10 companions, the 10 major companions, became Muslims upon the hands of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. What did he do? What is it that he did to bring these big names to be early adopters and proceed into Islam? Sheikh says this might be a good topic for research, and he intends to go back and do some research about it, because it's very interesting. How did he, what is it exactly that he did to bring these big names? And many of them were big, major business people. Many of them were merchants. Many of them were big names. How did they embrace Islam upon his hands? What is it that he did? What kind of personality was that man? Sheikh said that this is a very good topic for research, and he intends to go back and do some research on it and tell us exactly if there is any detail that was told about what he did to invite these people to Islam.
ضمن السابقين إلى الإسلام سليط ابن عمرو، سليط ابن عمرو
العامري القرشي رضي الله عنه،
سليط عبد شمس العامري القرشي
from قريش
رضي الله عنه وأرضاه.
And then comes ابن حذافة هجر بدري
إلى الحبشة،
سليط migrated also to Abyssinia, the first migration, and also to the Medina after that, and he witnessed all the conquests and all the battles with the Prophet. So when you hear about these companions and know that they have major names, they didn't build their names out of nothing, they built their names because of what they did. Because of what they did. Early adopted Islam, embracing Islam, rushing into it, witnessing the battles with the Prophet, migrating with him, leaving everything for the sake of their religion. They did huge stuff. Ibn Hudhaifa, who was the husband of Hafsa, the daughter of Umar, before he became a martyr in one of these battles with the Prophet. And then Hafsa became the wife of the Prophet, peace
be upon him.
And then the
25th,
Mas'ud ibn Rabi'ah. We're ordering them now. The 25th is Mas'ud ibn Rabi'ah. You would wish you have an order in this list. You would only wish you had an order in this list. And he was one of those who witnessed Badr, the first battle in Islam. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Allah looked to the people of Badr and said to them, do whatever you want, you are forgiven. These are the people who witnessed the first battle in Islam. So it's not only that he witnessed the first battle in Islam, he was the 25th. He is one amongst the people of that list.
الملائكة تعد من شهد بدرا فيهم خير الملائكة. الملائكة الذين شهدوا بدرا كانوا أيضا خير الملائكة.
Also the angels that witnessed Badr were amongst the best of the angels. The angels themselves fought in that battle in which the Muslims were victorious. The first battle in Islam. So Mas'ud ibn Rabi'ah, the 25th in that honorable list. And then the 26th comes
Ma'mar ibn Harith,
the brother of Hatib and Hattab. What a family. A family that offered three people here and their wives. Three of the people of Mad'un and three of the people of
Harith.
Hatib, Hattab and Ma'mar. Six from two families. Three from the family of Mad'un and three from the family of Harith. In a list of 26, six of them are from two families.
وولد جحش هما.
And then the two children of Jahsh.
عبد الله. أبو أحمد عبد أوان.
And then Abu Ahmed.
وولد جحش هما عبد الله كذا أبو أحمد عبد أوان. يشير هنا إلى عبد الله ابن جحش وأبو أحمد ابن جحش.
He here refers to عبد الله ابن جحش and أبو أحمد ابن جحش.
عبد الله ابن جحش ابن رباب وأبو أحمد ابن جحش ابن رباب. وأبو أحمد اسمه عبد، يعني لكن أنت مثلا يعني هناك عبد ابن جحش وعبد الله ابن جحش، كلاهما رضي الله عنهما كان من السابقين الأولين إلى الإسلام، كلاهما ممن هاجر الهجرتين إلى
حبشة، both of them did the two
الأولى والهجرة الثانية
migrations to Abyssinia. And later we'll study these migrations. These two people, the 27th and the 28th.
نعم رضي الله نعم. الله
So we reached to the 28th.
بعد ذلك يقول كذا شبيه المصطفى أي جعفر أسماء زوجه الحليف عامر عياش نعم ابن أبي ربيعة وزوجه أسماء إلى سلامتي. فهنا يشير إلى عدد أيضا من السابقين الأولين.
Then he moves to other people to number
29. جعفر
ابن أبي طالب.
جعفر ابن أبي طالب. وقال شبيه المصطفى.
Who looked
لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لجعفر.
He looked like the prophet.
طالب قال له أشبهت قلبي وقلبي.
And the prophet peace be upon him said to him, You are like me both. In my physique and my ethics or my manners. And Ja'far ibn Abi Talib is a cousin of the Prophet. He is the brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He looked like the Prophet in face and also in manners. And he also he was amongst those that migrated to Abyssinia, and he remained there 7 years after the migration of the Prophet to Medina. And then the Prophet brought him to Medina. And the Prophet kissed him between his eyes and he said to him, I don't know what to be happy about, your coming here or opening Khaybar, which was a suburb around Medina that the Prophet opened. And later on, Ja'far died in the battle of
Mu'tah,
and his two arms were cut. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that Allah replaced his two arms with two wings that he will be flying with in the paradise. That is why he is called Ja'far, the bird. Ja'far the bird. He died in the battle of Mu'tah. His two arms were cut with the sword. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced him with two, replaced these two arms with two wings with which he can fly in the paradise. And then number 30, Asma bint Umais.
رضي الله عنه ورضاه زوجة جعفر
the wife of Ja'far
أسلمت وهجرت معه إلى الحبشة وولدت له أولاد منهم محمد ولدت له بالحبشة أولادا منهم محمد بن جعفر وآخرين تزوجها بعد استشهاد جعفر رضي الله عنه تزوجها من أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه ظلت مع أبي بكر الصديق.
And after Ja'far died, she got married to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and she remained the wife of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq until Abu Bakr died. She actually prepared him for burial after he died. And then she got married to Ali ibn Abi Talib. So she married three of the major companions, Ja'far, Abu Bakr and then Ali ibn Abi Talib. Asma was amongst those that preceded to Islam.
قال الحليف عامر يشير هنا إلى عامر ابن ربيعة حليف آل الخطاب حليف آل الخطاب عامر ابن ربيعة حليف آل الخطاب رضي الله عنه
and then comes Amr ibn Rabi'ah
إلى الإسلام وشهد غزوة بدر
who also witnessed the battle of Badr.
قال عياش نعمي عياش نعمي ابن أبي ربيعة عياش ابن أبي ربيعة المخزومي عياش ابن أبي ربيعة المخزومي اللي فات كان اسمه عامر ابن ربيعة العنزي اللي فات اللي هو عامر ابن ربيعة
سو عامر ابن ربيعة and then عياش ابن ربيعة
والثاني والثلاثون
who was the 32nd
عياش ابن أبي ربيعة المخزومي رضي الله عنه وزوجته أسماء
and his wife أسماء
أسماء قال وزوجه أسماء إلى سلامتي يعني أسماء المنتسبة إلى سلامة اسمها إيه؟ أسماء بنت سلامة الدارمية التميمية الدارمية التميمية رضي الله عنها وأرضاها هذه رقم 33
نمبر 33
أولين إلى الإسلام وكانت هي وزوجها عياش بن أبي ربيعة من المهاجرات إلى
She and her husband were amongst those that migrated to Abyssinia too. So now we took 33 of those in this very honored list, and we inshallah will continue that list. Next Monday. So we stopped at, we stopped before the 34th in this beautiful list of those who preceded to Islam. We finish here and we continue next Monday, this next Sunday, this honorable list.
سؤال آخر نعم يعني واحدة زوجة حاطب واحدة زوجة حطاب يعني هذا المقصود طيب نتوقف هنا إن شاء الله ونسأل الله تعالى أن ينفعنا وإياكم بما قلنا وسمعنا والحمد لله رب العالمين